Welcome back. This is Ray Higdon with Top Earner MLM Recruiting. This is module number 4. We are going to cover prospecting, test closing, and building your empire. And I'm telling you, this is a jam-packed session. It is our last session. And for that, it's kind of bittersweet, but you are ready for this. You are really, really seriously ready. We have prepared you for this final module. And a little sneak peek, there is a guest trainer on this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get the party started. First of all, as always, I just want to give you gratitude. I want to say thank you for seeing the value in purchasing this product. Recruiting is the most lucrative part of our business, but is rarely taught the right way. It is the process that, if left unlearned, will leave almost all other actions to go unnoticed. This product will be one of the easiest and fastest products for you to ever get a return on your money, and technology will never outdate this information. Whether you are going in a time machine and prospecting the caveman, whether you're going in a time machine and prospecting the spaceman, you're going to be able to use the tactics and techniques that I cover in this four-part series no matter what, because it is about human relationships, it is about communication and talking to other human beings, and we are going to have an absolute blast. So, module number 3. We talked about mirroring, matching, pacing, and leading. Very powerful. I especially like the part about pacing and leading because it's something that's not taught very often. But if you practice that, like all of this stuff, you are going to become a master recruiter. And let me tell you, I've had so many people go through this course. When I originally did it a few years ago, so many people that have gone through this course that have become master recruiters. I mean, they absolutely have. I have so many testimonials from people that have gone through this and really, really became so much better at recruiting. It's just awesome. Now, did you create any plans for mass persuasion? Did you kick that around? Did you talk about how to communicate to the masses? Did you plan? Did you write down or visualize? Did you do the visioning process that we talked about? I hope you did. Hope you did the homework. All right. We also talked about sponsoring leverage. I gave you 3 of my cool little tricks that a lot of people have used, including myself, to bring more people into our network marketing business. Touched on attraction marketing, and I talked all about visioning. And so, like always, I want you to stop looking at what you know or what you think you know and start looking at your results. If you are not consistently recruiting new people into your company, it's because you haven't mastered this. You have yet to master what I'm covering in this course. You need to go back through it. You need to pay attention, like my friend Matt DeMeo says, pay attention, right? You need to pay attention to this stuff, and let's get a cracking. So in this module, you're going to learn some cool stuff. Number 1, we're going to finally talk about prospecting, what you've all been waiting for. And I hope you didn't fast forward. I hope you didn't skip all the other modules and say, well, Ray's just dumb. I need to learn prospecting first, right? Hope that's not the case, because you should not be prospecting until you know how to close. I know that's weird. I know that's not what your network marketing companies tell you. That's what I'm telling you. I've seen way too many people waste really good prospects because they didn't know what to do next. Now that you're ready for prospecting, we're going to have some fun. Now, I'm going to have a guest trainer on here. Now, if you've liked any of my information, you are going to be blown away by this guest trainer. This guest trainer is perhaps the smartest trainer I have ever seen in the industry, someone that I greatly look up to and I respect and I really listen to. I mean, if this trainer told me to go do something, I would go do it. And I can't tell you that's for every single trainer out there in the industry, but I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away. You're going to be absolutely blown away. You're going to say, holy cow, how did you get this trainer on here without paying them a huge royalty? You're going to be blown away. So we're going to have some fun with that. And that's called diverting pitchmen. Because here's the reality. If you're going to be out there on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, or whatever, you know, futuristic hologram issued social media sites you're going to be on, you're going to have people pitch you. Well, what do? How do you respond to it? Do you just chuck them away and you know, give them the finger? Do you tell them to go, you know, jump off a cliff? Or can you learn tactics that actually work to divert them and interest them in your business? That's called the flip-flop, right? It's called flipping them. You're flipping pitchmen. We're going to teach you that. I'm going to go into test closing. Now, I'm going to argue that this is, if not the most powerful part of the course, it's at least in the top 2 or 3, okay? Test closing is power, man. It's so much power. And nobody knows this in network marketing unless you've been in hardcore Sandler sales training or some kind of structured sales training. Nobody's using test closing. So when you use it, It's just power. It's just strength, bull strength. All right. Very cool. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk a little bit more about objection handling, and I'm going to talk about building your empire, because that's what it's all about. This is not about recruiting a couple reps. This is about building an empire that lasts forever. This is about bringing in residual income to you each and every week, whether you wake up and roll out of bed or over in bed, doesn't matter. Building an empire that's going to last you an entire lifetime, and you're going to be able to pass down to generations of your children. That's exciting. All right. So prospecting, you're ready for this now. And for those of you who are saying, well, who do I talk to, Ray? Who do I go to? I can't find a single person. I have no idea what accent that was, but it was terrible, whatever it was meant to be. You can go to rayhigdon.com, and I do have an audio on there called 29 Sources of Leads. It's absolutely free. Just download it. It's free audio. But rayhigdon.com, 29 Sources of Leads. If you have no idea where to find people to talk to, I give you 29 different places, okay? Don't forget your questioning velocity when you're prospecting. One of the most killer things that you can do is ask questions when you're prospecting. And I don't just mean the $1 million, the quick, you know, conversation starter, right? I don't mean that. I mean continuing to ask them why, so that every step of the process is their idea, not your idea. That's what makes it powerful. You want to connect and build rapport with prospects online or offline. Okay. And I'm here to tell you, just like I talked about in last module, you can build this business online or offline. You just can't do it without the telephone. Now, if you need to make money, prospecting needs to be the largest percentage of your time. In, I believe, module number one, I talked about a daily routine. Okay. Module number one or two, I forget. But in one of those, I talk about a daily routine. Prospecting, if you need to make money, which is most people going through this, which is most people that are in network marketing that want to make more money, you need to spend the largest amount of your time prospecting. Now, what's the difference? Most people, they go to the internet out of weakness. They are not willing to get better at talking to human beings, so they say, I'm going to get me a fancy jancy system, and this system's going to bring people in like nobody's business, right? That's what they do. Well, I'm here to tell you got two categories here. You have passive marketing, and that is where you do something hoping an unnamed individual responds to it. That could be YouTube, could be, you know, Twitter, could be a Facebook status update, could be an article, a blog, could be some kind of ad, right? You do something, you hope an unnamed individual responds to it. That is passive marketing. What I'm going to suggest you spend most of your time on is active prospecting. Active prospecting is where you're going out either online or offline, face to face, on the phone, whatever. You're connecting with an individual and you are prospecting them. You're talking to them. And, you know, I'm telling you, our guest trainer that's going to be coming up here shortly, this person has built a $10,000 a month income just from active prospecting on Facebook for free. Not using advertisements, not doing home meetings, not that there's anything wrong with it, okay? Just by active prospecting on Facebook with people she doesn't know. Oops, there we go. I just let it know. It's a woman, okay? So be prepared, all right? And she's done it. $10,000 a month, active prospecting just on Facebook for free. She's going to share with you some of her tactics. Very cool. So prospecting mastery. Let's say you are out and about. Okay, I'm going to give you both scenarios. Let's say you're out and about and you pass somebody and they have a Florida State hat on, or they got an Ohio State or a Cal State, or, you know, whatever, you know, state of confusion, whatever. Whatever kind of hat or t-shirt or whatever. You're looking for articles of clothing. You're looking for anything to create an initial question. Okay, you're looking for, you know, what kind of suit do they have? What kind of cap are they wearing? What kind of, you know, shirt? You're looking for some kind of conversation pieces. Women, what they teach at Nordstrom is to compliment shoes, to compliment jewelry. Hey, that's a pretty smart company, right? You're looking for things that you can start a conversation with. Now, if I am standing next to you in a restaurant waiting to be seated and you say, hey, are you opening a side project? Doesn't interfere with what you're currently doing? I'm going to look at you like you're nuts. I'm going to think, what the hell's wrong with this person? But if you say to me, hey, dude, those are cool shoes. Where'd you get those? I'm going to answer you. I'm going to say, well, I got them at this, this place. My friend has a boutique in Naples, and, that's where I got them, and, they're pretty sweet. Why, you dig boots or, whatever, right? You're creating a conversation. Or if I'm wearing my Indianapolis Colts hat proudly, and someone says, hey, nice cap, go Colts. I'm going to say, yeah, man, maybe give them a high five. Yeah, you like the Colts? Are you from Indy? See, it starts a reaction. It starts a positive reaction versus a, hey, you open multiple streams of income there, buddy. Right? That's just weird. It's strange. Okay, so let's not do that. Let's get better at that. Now, you may be wondering, well, Ray, I don't go out and talk to people because that's just way too uncomfy. I like to stay in my bedroom and I eat my Cheetos and I hide behind my keyboard. Well, I'm not even going to bash that. You thought I was. You thought I was going there. Not going to bash it. Okay? But what I will say is you can do the same thing online. You can see that someone is a fan of Florida State or Miami Dolphins or that they're an engineer or that they like photography or they, watches Dances with the Stars. Whatever. In fact, I'm going to argue to you that on Facebook, you know way more about them than you would ever know offline. Okay? So see, you thought I was going to make fun of you. Not going to do it. You can use these tactics. But my suggestion is to build some rapport before you hit them over the head with whatever your question is. Okay? Be smart about it. So, I see you like this. I see you are part of this. I see you da-da-da-da-da. Don't forget. You know what? This is a terrible command. Remember. I shouldn't be saying don't forget. Remember. Your training and mirroring and matching. Remember pacing and leading. We covered that. And now I'm going to talk a little bit about the afterthought and run. I've called this a couple times, a couple different things over the years. Okay, you could call this the doorknob close. You could call this also mixed in with creating breaks in communication. But let me share with you, what I'm talking about here. This is one of my favorite approaches. Okay. I create a break in communication and I throw it out. So let's say I've met someone, they have a New York Yankees hat on, and I say, hey, Yankees, way to go. They're doing good this year, right? Yeah, man, they're doing really good. Well, that's awesome, man. How long you been a Yankees fan? Are you from there? Are you sweet? Do you like Jeter? I'm gonna ask them a bunch of questions, build some rapport with them, and then if I am leaving and they're a stranger, okay, that's a clear break in communication. I will never see them again. And so I may say, well, hey, you know what? I'm just curious. I got to run to an appointment, but I'm just throwing it out there. Would you be at all open to a side project if it didn't interfere with what you're currently doing in real estate or whatever occupation I've heard them say? Okay. Now, why would I create that break in communication? Because it prevents me from saying too much. And that is the number two error that most network marketers make is they say too much. Number one error is they don't talk to enough people. Okay. So I'm going to say, hey, I got to run. And this works anywhere. Let's say that you are stuck with somebody. Because a lot of people give me that excuse. They say, well, I'm at a soccer game. I'm next to him for 6 hours. Right? Well, you can, and 6 hours is a little much, but you can create breaks in communication. Hey, great to see you. I got to watch Timmy from over there because I got to jump on a conference line. But let me ask you this question. Would you be open to a side project that didn't interfere with what you're currently doing? Yes or no, not a big deal, after you've built some rapport, okay? And so here's the response, if positive. You ready for this? So let's say, whether it's a stranger, whether it's someone that I know, whatever. Hey, just throwing it out there, I got to jump on this call, but would you be open to a side project if it didn't interfere with what you're currently doing? And they say, yeah, you know what? I probably would be. You know what? My wife got, sidelined, or she got laid off, or my husband is working less, fewer hours. Here's the response if it's positive. Okay. Well, again, I got to jump on this call, but I'm curious. Why are you open? Just curious. Man, folks. What did I say? What have I said this entire course? I said that if you can figure out their needs and their desires before you pitch them, before you give them a link, you're in the money. You're in the absolute money. Now, instead of being the pitch person, right? There's that guy that's going to beat me over the head with his weight loss shake, right? Or his cards or his travel deal or blah, blah, blah. You're a problem solver. We all want to be problem solvers. If you're a problem solver, you're making an impact on this planet. You're actually helping people. Very, very powerful. Now, Now that we got that, we are going to jump into my guest trainer for today. I know you are fired up. I am really excited. She is the number one female earner in her primary company. She has personally recruited over 80 people from Facebook that she did not know without spending 14 cents on Facebook advertising. That doesn't mean she spent 13 cents. She spent 0 cents, okay? She's personally recruited over 80 people. How many of you would like to recruit over 80 people from Facebook that you don't know? How cool would that be? Here's the big thing. Those 80 grew to thousands. Thousands, right? 80 into thousands? Would you buy into that program? I hope you would. Best of all, she is my beautiful wife, and she's so amazing. I am going to turn the tables over to my amazing wife, my partner in life, my best friend, the best looking woman I have ever seen. Her name, Jessica Higdon. Here she is.
Wow, that was amazing. That was probably the best introduction I've ever had. And it just happens to be coming from my husband. Thank you. That was just unbelievable. And so I'll get right into it here. The first thing that you want to know is that everything that Ray just taught you, you're going to have this happen to you many, many times. Many times over, you're going to have people that don't understand how to market, and so they just pitch you over and over and over again. And so this should really help you with that, because it's inevitable, as I mentioned, you're going to run into it. And this is probably one of the best things that you can do when it comes to prospecting, because many people won't either, number one, have the guts to do it, or they won't know how to do it, or they won't even know that they should do it. So let's get right into it. And that is diverting pitchmen. That is very important to understand, that they just want help. So be of help to them. When somebody is pitching you, that really means that they have no idea how to work their current business, I guess you could say. They have no idea how to actually prospect, like all the things that Ray just taught you. And let me just clarify. So I was doing my Facebook thing for about a year, I'd say a year's time. I was really being consistent with it. And then something happened where I had, you know, I was bringing people in, but I was working really hard and not seeing much money. And then all of a sudden, I just started bringing the right people in. Okay, so I switched from just bringing quantity and I started to go for quality. And that's really where my business made a huge change. And so with this stuff that I'm teaching you, a lot of the highest quality people, which you don't even realize, sometimes they're the ones pitching you. And let me explain why. Well, they believe in network marketing because they're already in a network marketing business. And so they believe in it. They believe in it so much that they want to pitch everybody in the world, right? So they believe in it and they're just coming after you because they weren't trained properly. They have a desire. They're at least taking some action, right? If they're pitching you. So that means that they're a quality person. Okay. And they understand that they need additional coaching. They have a gap that you can fill. And when you fill a gap, that's when somebody knows, likes, and trusts you. That's when somebody wants to work with you. It's like finding a solution to a problem, right? So they have a problem. They have a gap that you can fill. And they know that because they're not getting results. And you can tell when they're not being postured properly and they're not being trained properly. So when somebody's pitching you, just understand that they're coming usually from a good place. Now, of course, you will always get those people that have no idea what they're doing. They don't want to know what they're doing. They're not coachable, and they could care less if you want to build a relationship with them or not, right? So those aren't the people we're looking for. But again, made a huge switch in my business when it changed from quantity to quality. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is how to really get these people that keep pitching you over and over to change their mind and realize, A, they're doing something wrong, and B, they might actually be better if you were mentoring them in your business. So let's start. Be of help to them. Be an authority figure. So become that authority figure. Now, I don't want you to just be an authority figure when people are pitching you. I want you to become that authority figure through your whole social media presence, through your whole prospecting presence. You know, Ray talks about posture. He's an amazing prospector, by the way. The best, one of the best I've seen, one of the best phone people I've seen. So you definitely want to listen to what he says. Obviously, if you're listening to this, then you want to know what he says. But you want to act as if you are already there. And I know you've probably heard that before, but that doesn't just mean, you know, in your attitude, it also means in your words. And so if somebody is bashing their company or saying something wrong about other people or a different company, you want to be above that and say, hey, listen, I understand that you need help and I'm here to help. I have some tricks of my own that I could teach you if you're open to listening. So that's what I mean. So if somebody's coming at you and saying that you should join their business and bashing yours, okay, they haven't been trained properly. So you want to just handle that with grace and come at them with a different approach. And we'll talk about that. Figure out what their problem is, as I mentioned. So step number three, you really want to know, okay, is this person really just completely oblivious and pitching me for no reason? Or do they really have a problem that I can solve? Have they just not been mentored properly? Chances are they haven't. And again, you can be the person that helps them with that. Now, when you find out what their problem is, you want to use their problem to keep them open-minded. So, for example, if somebody is coming to me and saying, you know what, Jess, you're right. I haven't been mentored properly. I really need to know how to get on the phone more, or I need to know how to build relationships better. Is that something that you can help with? So absolutely I can help with that. And I would say, hey, Bob, or, you know, whoever you're talking to, I can absolutely help you with building relationships. If you're open to it, I can offer you some coaching and some of the things that I do and see if it's a fit for you. See what I mean? So as soon as somebody has a problem and you can fix it, they're a little more open-minded. And so we're just, with this whole diverting the pitchmen process that we're doing here, we're just really having a conversation with somebody and seeing what they need. And many people don't recognize this because they don't recognize that, once again, step number one, that these people need help. So you want to be of help to them. And finally, you create doubt in their mind about where they currently are. So when somebody says they have a problem, if you don't capture that moment and you don't say, hey, I can help you, I know how it is, and I understand that I've been there, then you're going to just lose that prospect, right? So this isn't manipulative. This is really helping them see, hey, look, you have a problem. You have a problem that we need to fix. So create doubt in their mind about where they currently are, because you are going to be the authority figure that helps them solve that. Does that make sense? So remember, you are the authority figure. And when I say authority figure, I mean you are somebody that they look up to, that they trust, that can help them. This is all about bringing it back to help. So when somebody says, I've just been pounding my head against a wall because my upline leaders won't help me, you say, yeah, that's a big problem, because that is a big problem. If your upline leaders aren't helping you, then you need to be with somebody that will. Okay? So again, if they don't have a problem that can't be solved, we're not even going to worry about those people. If they're happy where they're at, that's perfect. If they're not, you need to capture that moment and make sure they understand that you can help them. So here's an example. Just wanted to give you guys some examples. Hopefully this is making sense. Diverting the pitchmen with this guy was very, very interesting. Okay, so this is a great guy. Love him to death. Love him to death. And he actually came to me when he was looking for somebody to join his business. So he came to me on Facebook, and this is the example I'm giving, is on Facebook. He is saying to me, I want you to join my business, basically. So just comes right out of the blue, no relationship building, nothing, and says, I want you to join my business. I'm going to do anything I possibly can and tell you anything about my business so that you will come follow me. Now, that didn't really work for me. So, you know, he uses languaging like, it's simple to follow, amazing system, just an hour a day, exclamation point. You know, it didn't work for me. And I recognized right away that this guy, he wasn't a jerk. He wasn't trying to be overbearing or trying to just be nasty to me. He was trying to promote his business and didn't know how. So a simple thing that you can say, that I usually say when somebody does this, is, hey, it's nice to connect with you. Question for you, how is this tactic on Facebook working for you? Just curious, have an awesome Monday. I was obviously talking to him on a Monday. So did that sound brash or like, hey, stop harassing me? No, I was just simply asking a question. How is this tactic working for you? Is it at all working for you? Is something that you can say. You know, just kind of figuring out where they're at, finding out if they have a problem. Now, what's interesting about this is he actually comes back to say, what's interesting is that I actually watched your video from one of your links prior to sending that email. And I realized that your technical skill and expertise exceeds mine in online marketing. It gave me a pause, but then I came to the conclusion that presenting you blah, blah, blah opportunity could create a fantastic business relationship for our organization, and so on and so forth. So he already recognizes me as an authority figure and basically says, listen, this isn't really working for me, but I could use your help. He uses that language, I could use your help. So now I know I have an in at the door, right? He already looks at me as somebody that he can learn from, which is great because I feel like I can help him. So then we move on, and I actually tell him, listen, I'd be happy to hear more about your business. And why do I say that? I say that because I want to know what this guy does. I want to know what problems he's facing. When I say I'm looking for problems, I'm really digging deep to find what I can help this person with. You got to dig deep. And how do you dig deep? You find out what exactly these people are doing. So I'd be happy to hear more about your business is what I say. I was just curious about your approach on Facebook because I've done a lot of internet marketing and I think I can help you with a few tweaks to your tactic. So I ask him a few more questions and then I say I'd be happy to give you some tips and have an awesome weekend. So what does he do from here? He goes on to pitch me a lot about his business because I had just asked him about his business. So I let him get it out. And he gives me a million different bullet points on why his company is the best. So this is how I handle it from this point. You seem very passionate about what you do. And then I basically say, listen, it's just not for me. But I again ask him a few more questions about what he's doing. And I again say, I have some tips I think would work for you, though I checked out what you do. And by the way, how long have you been doing this? So it's just leading him into, okay, what are your problems? Do you need help from me? Are you going to follow me with this help? Are you actually going to take me up on this help? Or are you just going to keep doing things the way you've been doing them and get no results? Does that make sense? So I hope that that really helps with how this whole thing works, because this is huge, huge, huge tactic, a huge tactic that'll help you guys tremendously if you just understand that you have to dig deep for people's problems and then actually know how to solve them. So let's keep going. I go on to ask him that the corporate and field competition with his personal company was just too much for me, but I appreciate his time. So again, I'm creating that little bit of doubt. Like, listen, the competition with what you're doing right now, I see how that would be affecting your results, and it's just not for me. You see there how you create that doubt? Okay, it's pretty amazing. And then they start to think, hey, wait a minute, you're right. There is a lot of competition. So see, I'm really digging deep on what his business is and what he does. So we left the conversation alone for just a little bit because I didn't want to be too aggressive with this guy because he was very, very new to the industry. And then I just continued the relationship. I stayed in touch. I messaged him a few times. And here's what happened. So remember, people will watch you. People will watch what you do. They'll watch what you say. And they'll watch mostly how you act. So he asked me about my primary company. I got him on the phone. And I signed him up. So he is now one of my best reps that I have. And he has over 30 people on his team. And has become a really great friend. So I want you guys to understand what the overall picture from this whole thing is, that it's about building relationships, finding out somebody's problem and knowing you can solve it. Now, remember, you can't solve everybody's problem, and everybody isn't a right fit for you. You're just looking for the high-quality people that are a fit for you. And that's why I say this is more about quality, less about quantity. You want to go through the numbers, but when you pick people that you know you'd love to work with and you can help, it just makes your life 10 times easier and makes your business 10 times more fun. So I really hope, I had to get this out really quick. I didn't want to go all into my story or anything like that, but I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I'm going to pass it back to Ray.
Wow, that was awesome. Great job, babe. Really appreciate you. All right, so let's finish up this module. We still have a few things to cover, and I hope you got a lot out of that. And by the way, just because it's Facebook doesn't mean it doesn't apply everywhere else. It applies everywhere. You're going to get pitched at different angles from a lot of different people. Notice her patience, which is way, way better than mine. She recruits way more people on Facebook because of that patience, and she really sticks with them. So let's roll into test closing. Now, I hope you have your pens ready because this is a big, big deal. Test closing is huge. All right. And we talked a little bit about this in earlier modules, but not really to this degree. After you find out their pain, in your opinion, do you feel, think, or believe this would help X? Okay. So if someone is saying, I'm really broke, I really don't have any time. Well, in your opinion, do you feel, think, or believe that this would help create more time for you? What you're doing is you're building up an emotional benefit bank in their head by doing these test closes. Now, so let me define what this isn't. A close would be, hey, are you ready to join my business? All right. And I'm going to give you a little bit better way to say that. But this is a test close. This is you testing the temperature of the prospect to seeing if you should move forward. So you could start with, in your opinion, do you feel, think, believe this would help X? Okay, whatever their problem is. Do you feel that this would help you raise money for college tuition or for your wedding or for the new car or the new rent that you have due? What would that be worth to you? Okay. So what would that be worth to you? Have them tell you. And then challenge them. I love the challenge. Now, are you just saying that, or do you really believe that this home business would actually do all that? Challenge them. They said it. Of course they're gonna say that. Now, here is another million-dollar question. You've gotten so many of them. Notice how big I am on questions. If you were to join now, what would be the best benefit to you joining? Oh my God, guys. Seriously? If you were to join now, what would be the best benefit to you joining? Oh, is that a masterful question? Oh, man. You know, so many people, they're just saying, well, I think you should join my company, right? You're saying if you were to join now, well, what would be the best benefit to you joining? You know, why should you? So powerful. Test that close. Test the temperature of that prospect. At any stage, they can give you resistance and you can roll right back and say, well, I'm sorry. It just from the way you were talking, it sounded like you were ready to join. Now, that's another very powerful statement. Okay. Here's my questions. When I follow up with somebody and they say, you know, and I say, hey, did you watch the presentation or did you attend the meeting or did you get on the conference call? Whatever tool I've used. And I say, what did you like about what you saw? And I'm going to listen. If they're positive, I'm going to say this phrase, sounds to me like you're ready to join. So powerful. I've recruited so many people saying that. But you can also use these different test closings. Okay, so if someone is saying, you know what, I really like this business because it looks to me like I would save money on taxes, which my tax bill was really high last year. Well, you know, in your opinion, do you feel that having a home-based business would help with your taxes? Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, what would that be worth to you? Well, I mean, shoot, you know, I don't know, probably $500 a month. You know, that's what the speaker said. He said I'd save $500 a month. Now, just curious, are you just saying that or do you really believe that? Do you know that this would actually save you that money? Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. If you were to join now, what would be the best benefit to you joining? Well, I guess the tax benefits first. I mean, that right there is $500 a month. Well, absolutely. Sounds to me like you're ready to get started. Very powerful. Now, let me give you some tightening up of objection handling. Now, what's the number one rule that I covered in a previous module? Maintain your power. So, take the objection, repeat it into a question. Because you cannot answer objections, but you can questions. Does that make sense? You cannot answer objections, but you can answer questions. So if someone says, let me think of one. Well, I think these products are overpriced. Now, I'm sure you have a reason for saying that. What's the reason? Let me say that again. I'm sure you have a reason for saying that, whatever their objection is. What's the reason? Well, nobody makes money at these things. Well, I'm sure you have a reason for saying that. What was the reason? And listen. And again, are you doing the hard work or are they? All about the questions, baby. Now, let them finish and say this. Suppose I was able to satisfy that concern. In your opinion, do you feel you would want to move forward? That's a test close. In your opinion, do you feel you'd want to move forward? They may stop you. They may say, well, I guess if you could address that question, then yeah, I'd be ready to move forward. Well, let me ask you a question. In spite of blank, whatever their objection is, isn't the real question that is it possible for you to get more benefits than what you're investing? Isn't that the real question? That it's going to be worth more than what you're spending? Isn't that the real question? Very powerful, folks. Very powerful to handle any objection that ever comes your way. So let me go through it one more time. Repeat the objection into a question, because you can't answer objections, but you can answer questions. I'm sure you have a reason for saying that. What's the reason? Suppose I was able to satisfy that concern. In your opinion, do you feel? Now that is a hypnotic phrase. In your opinion, do you feel blank? Okay. In this instance, I'm saying, suppose I was able to satisfy that concern. In your opinion, do you feel you would want to move forward? Now, there's a direct command in there. Move forward. So that's a test close and a direct command. Good combination. Let me ask you a question. In spite of all that, isn't the real question that it is possible for you to get more benefits than what you're investing? Isn't that the real question? It's what it comes down to, right? Money. Absolute money right here. Now, what if, and I know hardly anyone ever hears this one, but what if they say they don't have any money? Number one, that's rarely the true scenario. Rarely will it be the case that they actually don't have enough money. What they are saying is they don't see this as being beneficial enough to them, for them to spend the money. And they don't see that they have a cookie jar filled to the brim with whatever amount of money you're asking for, because it's just extra money. They're looking for extra money. You want them to look for, holy crap, this will really help me. This is beneficial. I want to invest money into this. And they see more hurt in buying than pleasure. Okay. Now, here we go. You ready for this? So here's one scenario to the no money objection. I appreciate that you don't have any money, and not but. Okay, I'm going to teach you that. I want you to say and from now on, not but. Okay, so if someone says, I don't have any money, don't say, I appreciate that, but don't say that, because that negates them. They don't like that. People don't like that. Well, I appreciate that you don't have any money, and in spite of not having any money, isn't the real question how you can start enjoying the training and benefits now without suffering any longer? Whew, man, that is, you're getting it. $1 million questions right here. I appreciate that and, not but, in spite of not having money, isn't the real question how you can start enjoying the training and benefits now without suffering any longer? Now notice, for your company, it can be a little bit more specific. I'm keeping this generic. You can say, you know, hopefully any company that you're in has good training. We hope, right? So you can start talking about that. Start talking about the training. Talk the benefits of, could be the product, could be the being around the flagpole with the right people, etc. Here's another one. no money. God, this is so good. If, okay, so someone says, I like it, don't got any money. Well, if you had worked out the money, what would have been the biggest factor that helped you come up with the money? Oh, just killer, right? There is a direct command in there too, come up with the money, right? If you had worked out the money, what would have been, just curious, what would have been the biggest factor that helped you come up with the money? It's amazing what they will think about. It's amazing. This will get you some details on how serious they are and how you can proceed. Again, money is really rarely the real problem. Now I'm going to give you one more. And I'll use this. I use this a lot, actually. When someone tells me that they don't have any money, I say, okay, well, let me ask you this. If you had the money, would you move forward? Right? And if they say yes, I say, okay, cool. Pull out a pen and a paper. They say, all right. And I say, I want you right at the very top. I'm so happy and glad that I joined X, whatever your company is. And then I want to tell them, I want you to write down 50 ways for you to come up with the money. And they'll be like, okay. And you tell them, and I'm going to get you started. Number one, have a yard sale. And let's say that your opportunity is $120 to get started. Okay. Borrow $20 from 6 people. Borrow $30 from 4 people. Borrow $60 from 2 people. Borrow $120 from 1 person. Right? Help them. Because here's the thing. When people are focused on scarcity, they will remain focused on scarcity. But here's the thing. We can come up with money. We either have it or we can come up with it. Help them get in the mindset of, I have to come up with money. I have had people sell their musical instruments. I've had people have yard sales. I've had people pawn their jewelry. I've had people sell their 10-speed bicycle to join my business because I got them thinking that way. Those things weren't making them money. This could. This could actually help their situation. Don't be frustrated by the no money. It's not a big deal. It really isn't. Rarely is it actual the problem. Now, what if they say too expensive? I appreciate that, and it brings up a question. Could you possibly benefit more from our plan despite your initial concern on price? Okay. Now, what did I just do there? The powerful, you probably didn't catch it, the powerful word in that is initial. Now, remember in a past module, I talked about place their pain in the past. Let me go through this again. I appreciate that. If you're saying it's expensive, I appreciate that. And it brings up a question. Could you possibly benefit more from our plan despite your initial concern on price? I'm forcing it into the past. Now, they may still have it, but I just took it and loop, threw it into the past. Yeah, that was their initial concern, but it's gone now. Bye-bye. We don't even remember it. Isn't that killer? Isn't that powerful? I appreciate that you think it's too expensive. And you know what? It brings up a good question. Could you possibly benefit more from our plan and our program and our training and our mentorship despite your initial little concern about price? Awesome. Place pain in the past quickly. It's very powerful. So, it's a wrap. We have come to the end of module number 4. I'm going to get into your bonus here in a second, but we have covered prospecting. We had my amazing wife get on here, talk about diverting pitchmen. We talked about the power of test closing, more objection handling. Now I'm going to talk about building your empire. Building your empire. Empires contain multiple communities across geography. Okay. If you were to really take a look at what you actually wanted, you would want to have armies of people all over the world, building, doing home meetings, doing house meetings, hotel meetings, restaurant meetings, webinars, doing community team leading things, right? That's what you would want. So you want to focus on getting better at getting value and information out. Be very critical of your time with your team and reps and create reusable training resources. What do I mean? Okay. And one of my questions to you early on was, what would you do if you brought in 20 reps tomorrow? How would you handle your time? Most of you would be running around like a chicken with its head cut off, right? Be critical of your time. Pay attention. As you build your business, what are the common questions that people ask you? What would you want your initial reps to do? What actions would you give them to start off with? Record those. Put them in audios. Put them in videos, whatever. When you start getting the same question over and over and over, don't you dare keep answering that. Get a reusable training and a resource. Create a YouTube. Create an audio, a conference call, whatever, that they can listen to on their own time. Be smarter with your time. Now, get in with the upper people in your company. They need to know who you are, but don't make promises or don't challenge them without warrant, okay? Don't do that. Don't make promises. Go out and do. Don't make promises. You know, when someone tells me, hey, I'm going to tear it up, I'm going to be your top rep, it's almost a guarantee it's a nail in the coffin. They're not going to do anything. I'm telling you, it's unfortunate. You know, if you hang around this industry long enough, you'll experience it too. Don't make promises. Just go out there and do it. So here's your module number 4 homework. Practice test closing. Get a couple friends, maybe in the same company, maybe even not. Doesn't matter. Get on Facebook. Get a little mastermind going. And practice those test closing questions. Pick 4 people to have fun with you that'll pitch your business. Go out there and purposely ask them to pitch your business. Hey, what business do you do? Tell me all about it. And practice what Jessica talked about. Then I want you to find 3 people to tell you they don't have the money and practice with them. Okay, practice. Practice the questions in this module. This is the module that you'll probably want to go through the most amount of times out of all 4. Okay, envision, use the visioning processes that we talked about, and just own your empire. Know that you can do it. And here's your quote. There are many hidden reasons that people struggle to make money. A deadly one is money acceptance. If you don't think you are highly valuable, why would anyone give you money? Makes you think, right? Well, I just want you to know that you deserve. You deserve a great life. You deserve to have the feeling of helping large quantities of other people. You deserve to be a top earner in this industry. You deserve to have the right MLM lifestyle. You absolutely do. You deserve to experience the richness that the world offers to those that have the courage. I just want to thank you for your attention, your time, and just so many wishes of success to you on your fantastic journey. This has been Ray Higdon. We had Jessica on here earlier. Appreciate you so much for going through this course. Appreciate you. I stand for your greatness. I want you to have massive success. Please take the time to do the homework, to go back through these modules, especially this one, because we hit a lot of heavy-duty stuff on this one. Know that we love you. Know that we love this industry. It works. It's not easy, but it works. I want you to be a top earner. Bye-bye, guys.